Welcome back to Beyond the Paddock. I'm your host, Sarah, and on today's episode, we will be discussing the Chinese Grand Prix. Okay, this was an exciting week leading up to the Grand Prix. There was freight drama. So the freights that carry in the cars, all the equipment for the Grand Prix, there was numerous teams affected. So Aston Martin, McLaren, Mercedes, Red Bull, and even Pirelli, the tires, were all heavily impacted by freight holdups. So normally when the cars arrive, they have a set amount of time to set up. And the cars arrived in China 30 plus hours after they were expected. And this gave these teams a disadvantage because they had 30 less hours of prep time. But all in all, everything arrived on time. We just saw some teams having to work through the night to get set up. Then rear wing drama. So there was all the speculation leading up in the week between the Australian Grand Prix and the Chinese Grand Prix regarding some rear wings. Norris's car underwent 4 rear wing load deflection tests following the Australian Grand Prix, all conducted by the FIA, and his car was officially cleared, saying that his car was compliant. The rear wing clampdown focused on 4 specific teams: McLaren, Ferrari, Alpine, and Haas. And the FIA said that all cars that raced in Australia were deemed legal, but they were going to have more stringent test expectations coming into China. So, and we did see there was some issues with Williams too, that they hadn't submitted their photos in time, but everyone ended up cleared for the race. Okay, so into Friday, so free practice. So this was a sprint weekend, so we only saw the one practice session. So it started off right off with Lawson off track, did not take the yellow flag though. We'd like to note that this track has been repaved over the summer, so it was quite a green track. The practice round started off slow, but we knew it would get faster over the weekend. So then we saw Charles take a spin, but no yellow. He did kick up some gravel onto the track when he came out of turn 2. Doan did take a yellow flag, which turned into a red flag. He lost his power steering and his car was stuck on track, but he was able to get it safely to the side of the track. And then we saw practice starting, and both Oscar and Max overshot the box. But all in all, it was a very uneventful practice session, and we saw Norris step away with fastest time. So we head right into the sprint qualifiers, and taking pole was Hamilton. So sprint qualifier Q1, there was no further, Stroll and Bearman were noted for impeding, no further action. Russell noted for impeding Tsunoda, no further action. Alpine went out too early to start their flying lap, in our opinion. So Doan had his track time deleted. Lawson exceeded track limits, had his lap deleted. So this is the second time Lawson was out in SQ1. So for sprint qualifier Q1, out was Doan, Gasly, Ocon, Hulkenberg, and Lawson, with Hamilton taking top time. So then we go into the SQ2. The only thing we would like to note here, we saw amazing teamwork out of the Racing Bulls. Hajar saw his shot at Q3 was done, and he went out anyways and towed his teammate Tsunoda, which got Tsunoda into the SQ3. So big shout out to the Racing Bulls for amazing teamwork. And out in SQ2 was Alonso, Bearman, Sainz, Bortoleto, and Hajar, with Norris taking top time. Into sprint qualifier SQ3. Norris had to bail out of his flying lap due to a very costly strategy error by McLaren. McLaren, we think, sent their cars out too early and they tried to do a 2-lap system. So they basically do a lap, then take a slow lap before a second push lap, just seconds before the checkered flag, where we saw the other team staying in the garage until about 3 minutes remaining in the session. This is a bit risky. Like, we saw Norris affected by this once. You do risk the yellow or red flag. But by basically McLaren doing this, they left like Verstappen and Hamilton only needing one attempt to steal like first and second. Piastri went out and completed a second lap, but he was not able to improve. He ended up coming out in third. Norris had to abort a second lap. He did make a mistake at turn 14. He ran wide, and this ruined his chances of improving. So he ended up in sixth. He kind of locked up in the last corner. And we have seen that in these high speeds this weekend, McLaren is having McLaren's a bit difficult to handle at the high speeds. And this has been an issue both Piastri and Norris have been saying since preseason testing with the front locking. So taking pole for the sprint qualifier was Hamilton. So top five were Hamilton, Verstappen, Piastri, Leclerc, and Russell. So then we go into the sprint. Right off the bat, Norris wins three places. He did hit gravel and locked up a bit. And then Lawson and Doohan, there was a bit of a collision noted. And then we have Norris was having trouble with his front left tire. He was sitting in dirty air, and there was definite damage to that front left. And then we see Oscar just couldn't fight Verstappen. He gets close, but he just couldn't seem to maintain. He kept going a bit wide, and that was taking away from his run at max. He just looked to be continuously turning wide or like sliding wide. But he did finally end up overtaking Max. And then Norris had no pace because of his tires. And so up until the sprint, Ferrari has never won a sprint. And until the finish. So we see Hamilton with an amazing run, and he took Ferrari's first sprint win. And your top five were Hamilton, Piastri, Verstappen, Russell, and Leclerc. And we see Bortoleto taking a 10-second penalty with two penalty points on his license out on the last lap with an incident with Doohan. So now we have Norris still leading the Drivers' Championship and McLaren out front on Constructors. So a fantastic sprint race by Hamilton and Ferrari. So we move on to qualifiers, Q1. We see Doohan in a spin. We had Norris in turn 9. His time was deleted due to exceeding track limits. Lawson was noted for failing to slow under Doohan's yellow flag, but was cleared with no further investigation. Norris with a near perfect last weekend when he was in Australia. He comes into this weekend and he really just seemed to be struggling in confidence and struggling with like confidence in the car and maybe even himself. He just seemed off up until these qualifiers. And then we had Bearman on turn 13 impeding Stroll. So out in Q1 was Gasly, Bearman, Doohan, Bortoleto, and Lawson. And we see Norris coming out on top of Q1. So we have Q2. Ferrari really seems to be lacking pace. Pace just didn't seem impressive at all the entire weekend. We had a yellow flag for a track hazard. And then what else did we want to note here? Everyone was out for a final flying lap except Lando, who set an amazing time. And Russell did not give his teammate a toe on the back straight in the final moments. Like, just, we didn't really... I don't know. We saw the Racing Bulls the day before with fantastic teamwork, and Russell had the opportunity to give Antonelli a toe down the back straight just in the last couple seconds of Q2 and did not do it. So out in Q2 is Ocon, Hülkenberg, Alonso, Stroll, and Sainz, with Norris taking top time. So into Q3, we have Antonelli exceeding track limits on turn 16, had his lap time deleted, and while doing so, he kicked up gravel. And we want to say that this may have been a little bit of karma coming back from Q2, because the gravel that he kicked up on track seemed to slow down Russell a little bit. So maybe this was, you know, a little bit of revenge for not getting the toe. And then we have Hajar with an unsafe release on Max coming out of the pits. And we see Oscar Piastri. Congratulations to Oscar Piastri taking his first ever pole. And your starting grid for the race: Piastri, Russell in the front row. Then we have Norris, Verstappen, Hamilton, Leclerc, Hajar, Antonelli, Tsunoda, Albon, Ocon, Hülkenberg, Alonso, Stroll, Sainz, Gasly, Behrman, Doohan, Bartoletto, and Lawson rounds up the starting grid. We also want to point out congratulations to Alex Albon for moving into Q3. He has been racing amazing. We're really, really impressed by Alex Albon. So into the Grand Prix, Lawson was having a pit lane start. And right off the bat, Oscar, who had taken pole, had a pretty poor start, in our opinion. We see right off, Norris had a great start. He beat Russell right on into turn one to move into second. We see Verstappen bumping down from fourth to sixth. He lost two spots in turn one. And right off the bat, we see Leclerc having contact with Hamilton, and he had that broken front wing, which he raced the entire race with. Lewis was on the racing line. Leclerc hit a curb, and he had to counter steer. And when he made the correction, he steered into Lewis. But Lewis was holding the racing line. So McLaren, we see dominance by McLaren in this race, controlling the race. Norris was basically told right off the bat to not race Oscar at the beginning, to race Russell and to hold Russell so Piastri could get ahead and get in, like he had clean air. We see in lap one, Bartoletto spinning out, but he was able to rejoin. And then we see Norris, like, throughout the race, because he was holding off Russell to protect Oscar's gap. We do see him, Norris's tires are taking a little bit more punishment than Oscar's, also because Oscar's in clean air and Norris was not. So Norris really had to work on tire control. Lap four, Alonso's brakes were on fire, so he had to retire his car. We had a brief yellow flag in lap six. Lap 10, Norris is doing a great job of managing Russell, so Piastri can race unchallenged. Norris was pit second, so he did have to stay out in the dirty air, which gave Mercedes an advantage, and Mercedes got the undercut on Norris. We see Norris being held up by Stroll, so he lost his position to Russell, and he went down to fourth by lap 12. And this is where we see Alex Albon. Actually, he was on his birthday leading the race. Then we see Norris overtaking Russell on lap 18 to move back up to third. And then by lap 19, Norris overtook Albon to move up into second. So lap 28, again, Norris told he's holding off Russell, creating that gap from Piastri. But now by lap 28, he's having to close up the gap a bit because they want to eliminate that undercut situation with Mercedes again. Norris was at risk of an undercut by Mercedes again. But we see Norris not wanting to have to push through Oscar's dirty air though. So Oscar, we see great teamwork there because Oscar then had to help close the gap up to avoid that issue. We see Norris keep setting fastest lap. Then we see there was the issue with Leclerc and Hamilton being told to switch. And then over the radios, we could see that Norris was really trying to push and maintain race control. They kept having to tell, he kept asking, and then they were radioing Oscar to tell him to speed up, to manage the race pace a little better. He had to be asked at least twice. And then there was that need for Oscar to increase his pace, to push, to get ahead of Russell. So lap 33, we still see Norris asking Oscar to speed up, just can't seem to increase. By lap 35, we would like to note here that McLaren did start, with less fuel to keep the car weight down. I guess they were thinking maybe there'd be a safety car and they could refuel then. But then we see here Norris being told to hold. And then there was the risk of rain. Will there be rain? Will it be for the last couple of laps? Will it be for the last lap? We do see the question of rain coming in by lap 35. Lap 39, we see Norris being told to be patient. The McLaren papaya rules are letting them race, but they're telling Norris to hold off. Don't race yet. We're going to get to that soon. Then we see Leclerc and Hamilton being split by Verstappen. Lap 40, Bearman and Gasly is the big battle for 10th in points. They were going back and forth, passing each other. That was a great battle to watch by lap 40. Lap 43, we see Norris really losing grip of his tires. And by lap 48, we can hear over the radio the brake issue. And all through this issue with tires and brakes, he's still setting personal bests. Then we see Doan taking a 10-second time penalty. He forced Hajar off of the track. Lap 50, we see the brake issue with Norris continuing to worsen. Told he will still continue to get power, but he had to be cautious. We see Norris wanting to know if he will have brakes at all in the hairpin, like a huge issue of concern. And then by lap 51, Norris is being told to finish second instead of fighting Piastri because of this brake issue, and to really just concentrate on keeping Russell in third. We'd like to note that Sainz, it was disappointing. We were expecting more out of this race. He just really wasn't able to make any impact in this race. By lap 52, Verstappen's really hunting down Leclerc for fourth, and he was able to overtake him in lap 53. Lap 54, Norris really, truly was faster than Piastri. He had created a 9-second gap to Russell. So lap 54, Norris still continuing to close the gap to Piastri with brake issues while being told to not race him. And by lap 55, his brake issue was deemed critical, and the brake was going all the way down to the floor. So basically now being told, protect his place. We wanted the 1-2 finish. Lap 56, by this point, we see Norris having to slow down. Russell's gaining on Norris. He only having to lift off the brakes. He had to lift off the brakes very early. So, and over the last 20 laps of the race, this became an issue. But then really by lap 56, Norris was under significant pressure and from Russell. And then we do see Norris being able to keep his second. We have Piastri coming out on top of the race. So this is where we want to talk about this late break issue, because this seemed to be all the rage, like this, wherever we were on the internet, on X, on, this was what everyone was talking about. So we're going to talk about this right now. Norris's late break issue and whether or not he could have pushed Piastri for the win. So we basically see lap three, Norris being told to race Russell instead of Piastri to create that gap to help Piastri get ahead. By lap 32, he was only 2.4 seconds off of Piastri, being told to have patience and race him later, and maintaining until lap 40 that gap with worse tires in dirty air. So that we would like to point out here. Lap 41 to 52, significant brake issue, still maintaining a close gap. And it wasn't until lap 54 that we saw the gap drop to about 4 seconds when he literally had no brakes left. We do feel that had Norris not had issues with his brakes, we think he would have pushed to beat Piastri in this race. Piastri had no issue with his car. He was able to maintain a consistent race pace in clean air, largely due to teammate work too. Like, Oscar had a fantastic race, a near perfect race. He deserved the win. He was out in front. We're not, like, congratulations to Oscar, but now we're just talking about the question that's being asked. And it was asked repeatedly to Lando Norris in interviews after the race. And Lando, kudos to him, said, it doesn't matter. Oscar won. Congratulations to Oscar. He deserved to win. But the question going around was, could Norris have pushed for the win? Could he have won had the issues not been at hand? And we think that is a yes. So again, Piastri had no issues with his car. He was able to maintain consistent race pace, largely due to his teammate holding off Russell. He was in clean air the whole race. Norris was in dirty air. Oscar benefited from McLaren's strategic calls because he was out in the lead. He got to pit first. He didn't have to deal with the undercut and regaining positions. And he also had less wear on his tires. And we do feel that the late break issue was a significant factor for preventing Norris's win. And we think that Norris drove 30% of the race while losing his rear brakes, and he was still able to keep a similar pace to Piastri. He was able to adapt to his new driving situation, and we think he would have pushed for first and won the race. So this will be an interesting season between these two drivers. Now, we need to address the issue of Ferrari. We saw Ferrari taking, it was later in the evening, so after probably the drivers had left the track, a double disqualification. So Gasly was disqualified for being underweight, but then we saw Leclerc disqualified for being underweight, and we also saw Hamilton being disqualified for basically the thickness of the plank assembly was below the permitted minimum thickness. So this is quite costly for Ferrari, especially in terms of points for the constructors, with both of them leaving the race with no points. However, now with them being disqualified, we see a movement up in points. So your point takers from the race were Piastri, Norris, Russell, Verstappen, Ocon, Antonelli, Alex Albon, Behrman, Stroll, and Sainz. This was Sainz's first points with Williams, and kudos to Williams, who took double points this weekend. We saw Alex with P7 and Carlos with P10, so a huge congratulations to Williams. That's amazing. We also have Haas taking double points this weekend too, with Esteban Ocon P5, and we have Bearman P8. So a huge congratulations to Haas as well. And then we have Charles Leclerc experience. Like, we felt so bad for Charles because after the race, he finished in points and he was announced as Ferrari's all-time leading point scorer, only to end up being disqualified and after the race and then losing the record. So we're really hoping for next weekend in Japan to see Charles re-announced as Ferrari's all-time leading point scorer. And to finish the episode today, we're going to lead into our next episode. There was talks after the race of, we've seen now Lawson, no points again, poor finishes. Is it the car? Is it the curse? We're going to get into this, the Red Bull curse. This is what we're getting into, that second driver's seat, because there was rumors of Red Bull's considering swapping Lawson with Tsunoda. So please join us next week as we talk about the Red Bull driver swap. And as we step away from the second race of the season, the Chinese Grand Prix, we see, we're just going to flip back here. We see McLaren leading the Constructors' Championship with 78, and second place is Mercedes with 57 points. Then Red Bull in third, Williams in fourth, and Ferrari in fifth. And leading the World Drivers' Championship, we still have Norris in first, Verstappen in second, 8 points behind, Russell in third, Piastri in fourth, and Antonelli in fifth. So thank you for joining us today. Thank you for being with Beyond the Paddock as we did our overview of the Chinese Grand Prix, and join us on Monday as we talk about the Red Bull driver swap.